Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Only eight teams remain in the playoffs. Which fan base most deserves to win a Super Bowl? 877-881-1053. While we were still talking about football, did you see that 2.06 million people watched the game on Nickelodeon, which represented a 245% increase over the usual time slot there? So people were watching some football on Nickelodeon. Good for them. Can we all agree that the Chiefs are the fan base that deserves it the least? I mean, they just effing got it.
Yeah. No, they were a very fun story last year. And, Kevin, we talked about this early in the season when they started doing the not 7, not 8, not 9, God. Not 20. You know, when they started doing
that. Yeah, one guy said 5, another one said 7, and I was like, good God, you won one.
Yeah, when they started that, I asked, when will they become unlovable? Because we love to see a team get there, right, and finally knock off the Patriots or whatever it is. But how long do we love them, especially whenever they are dominant? Okay, who's going to be the next one to take over? And so for the Chiefs, they just got theirs. They're still kind of a cool story. Mahomes is fun to watch. He's an absolute blast to watch. And, Mike, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, he's going to be that guy that you're like, wow, he had a tremendous career. But how long will people be rooting for him versus how long they'll be going, you know what, kind of like Tom Brady, I kind of hate that guy. Because they're jealous of his success.
I get that they just won it last year, but what if I threw out something like, I know Pittsburgh just got eliminated because they have 6. Let's just say Pittsburgh was still in it. Would you say, well, Pittsburgh deserves it the least? Because, I mean, their fans have seen a whole bunch of world champions if they're old enough.
Yeah, I think I would, because the Chiefs also waited 50 years between winning the Super Bowl. So
I'm a huge Steelers
fan.
What
about, then let me bring up the Packers. Do you think the Packers fans deserve it more than the Chiefs fans?
I think the Packers are too high on this list. I think they do, because you have what is supposedly a generational quarterback who has been to all of one Super Bowl. And so, or won all of one Super Bowl. So I think they probably deserve it a little bit more from the Chiefs, because this kind of feels like, and I could be off, this kind of feels like Aaron Rodgers' last stand. And for Patrick Mahomes, if they lose this weekend or whenever, I don't think, uh-oh, what are they going to do? I'm like, well, they'll probably be the favorites again next year. So I would put the Packers ahead of the Chiefs.
Okay. Keep going.
It goes... Because I think this is going to come down to two teams. Like, and I've already seen people say, it's this team easily or it's this team easily. And I think it's a tough call.
The Cowboys.
Well, sure. We're
Our
not eligible.
Our fan base deserves one, Kevin. We're entitled to it.
Do we? We put up with this for a long time.
We are entitled to it, Kevin.
The Chiefs are 8. The Baltimore Ravens are listed at 7 from NFL.com.
Listen, I just spent $250 today on Lamar Jackson rookie cards. So if you think I'm hating Lamar Jackson, I'm now rooting for him pretty dang hard.
And Tampa Bay is number 6. Tampa Bay is interesting because they haven't won a playoff game since the last time they were in the Super Bowl, and obviously won the Super Bowl, and they've been kind of meandering for the last 13 years. Then they picked up Tom Brady and all of his old man cronies, and they're ready to roll, and they look like a viable Super Bowl team.
All right, so I understand what you say about since the last time they won, they haven't had a playoff win. But how much of what, and Mike, this is to you too, how much of rooting for Tampa Bay is more about Brady than anything else? Wanting to see Brady do it without Bill Belichick.
Yeah, because then, I don't know, maybe it still won't. Maybe the people that hate him will always hate him and say he's not good and it's always system. But if he were to, let's just say he gets to the Super Bowl, because I do think it'll be very tough for an NFC team to beat an AFC team. I just think the AFC has better teams. If he gets to a Super Bowl, will you still hate on him? Will you still say Joe Montana's better?
So that's a key move right there. Let's say he wins this weekend and he gets to the conference championship. Well, Joe Montana did that exact same thing. But if he gets to the Super Bowl, let alone wins the Super Bowl, that's going to be sad for me, because then he surpassed another mark that Montana, there'll always be a part of me personally that hates Tom Brady because he's trying to overthrow the guy who was my favorite when I first started watching football. And I definitely think there's some shady things that have happened in his career. So that'll always color my opinion of him to a certain point. But make no mistake about it, if they win the Super Bowl, that's pretty damned impressive. And I hate Tom Brady, so that would be pretty damned impressive.
But that's the whole story. Like that, there's nothing else that's the story in Tampa Bay, right?
Well, from your perspective of what you're asking, sure.
Mike Evans!
I do wonder the unlikability or least deservingness of them to win this title. I think some of that is just like people don't like it when they feel like you cheated the game.
Yeah.
And doesn't that feel like what Tampa has done here, where they kind of, for lack of a better term, like bought their way into this? Right,
where they love the Broncos whenever Peyton Manning, like everybody loved that story. But again, that's fair. That's the dude that everybody loved.
And for a variety of reasons, there always seemed to be a whole different level of likability with Peyton Manning than Tom Brady. I always wonder if Peyton Manning would have won those 5-6 Super Bowls if people would have turned on him. It might be a byproduct of, man, Peyton Manning is awesome, but he doesn't win the ultimate a whole ton. And maybe that's why he was so much more likable, because he got really high just to get knocked back down. And like, how many people in life are like, oh, I hear you, man. Mm-hmm. Whereas Tom Brady's like, yeah, I got another
chip. Talked about Lamar Odom earlier. He got real high all the time.
Okay, different.
Wow.
I mean, he's not wrong.
That's
different
true.
Kind of high. And stay tuned. We're going to have huge breaking news for Reggie in this segment. Now, I don't know if the rest of the audience is going to give a damn at all, but for Reggie's life, huge breaking news coming up
Something
in this segment.
Something must have happened in soccer. Is
Define breaking news. That's what Reggie would say.
Yeah, that's
Define
true.
Define momentum.
That is true. So it goes like this. The Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bucks, then the Rams and the Packers come in at 5-4. So when it comes down to it, do you view New Orleans, Cleveland, and Buffalo as the three that most deserve?
I think so, because I was deciding between Browns and Buffalo were my two that I was deciding between. So I can see New Orleans as a strong number three case, because Drew Brees hasn't won in a long time. This is most likely his last year. I mean, we assume, like over the other two old quarterbacks, Rodgers and Brady, they're coming back next year. But right now we're assuming that Brees isn't, and the voodoo doll has struck them 2 to 3 years in a row. And that voodoo usually doesn't happen until the conference championship
game. Tom Brady would sell that as legitimate medicine, so the matchup is really tough.
Here's the thing with this. Like, I think this list, Kevin, is this list the fan bases that deserve it?
Yes.
So, like, I guess the fan bases that are rooting to send Drew Brees off one last time with a Super Bowl, like, that's a deserving thing. And I guess with Cleveland, I'm just always going to be they're going to be the lovable loser for me. Buffalo had 4 straight Super Bowl losses. That fan base was, they're the Rangers. We were in 2 World Series, and then in the second World Series, we were 1 pitch away from winning the World Series when it was stripped away from us by maybe the worst moment I've ever seen in baseball. And so I empathize with the Buffalo Bills more than I do the Browns and the New Orleans Saints.
Okay, I think I'm with you. It's really interesting that the way the NFL did this is on a 1 to 100, the good story meter. So for like example, Kansas City is a 44. You're like, meh, either way. And then by the time you move up to the Rams, they're a 62, and they're still pretty low. New Orleans is 91. The Bills are a 99.8, and the Browns are a 99.9. And I just take you back. I'm going to vote for the Bills. And I've seen people say, I think it's the Browns. I'm going to vote for the Bills, and here's why. I think watching that four falls of Buffalo 30 for 30 really depressed me about them. But think about their four Super Bowls. All right. So you go back to Super Bowl 25. You have the most dramatic ending in the history of the Super Bowl. Save it with your New England Atlanta. This is the most dramatic, where one kick will determine that one way or another, one team will win and one team will lose on this one final play. It doesn't go in. Buffalo loses. Then what happens the next year? They go up against the 91 Washington team that a lot of folks think is the best team in NFL history. Then the next year, they go up against the Dallas Cowboys team that I and others believe is the best team in NFL history, and they have one of the most lopsided games in history. Then in the rematch they get the very next year, it's a more ho-hum affair compared to the rest of them, and they lose by 17 points. Those were no team in NFL history has made it to four straight Super Bowls, except for Buffalo. But nobody considers them great because they never won. Jim Kelly, great. Andre Reed, great. Thurman Thomas, great. Marv Levy, great. The team, eh, they're a joke.
At what point do you think that fan base gave up on trying to win a Super Bowl in that four-year stretch?
If you go back and watch the four falls of Buffalo, that Super Bowl 27 broke them because
beat them 52-17.
Exactly. And that was, they were like, hey, look, we got screwed the first year. We should have made a kick. We should have won. And I still to this day wonder how different history would have been if that kick goes in. Would that have boosted their confidence to say, not only are we badass, we already proved we can win the Super Bowl. And then you're like, well, we're not going against a historically great team because we get to play the Cowboys. They weren't even the number one seed in their division. And then they get effing smoked off the field in one of the most lopsided second half, fourth quarters you've ever seen in the Super Bowl. By the time he got to 93, they were like, yeah. I mean, they talk with all kinds of people across Buffalo. And they're like, yeah, I mean, that's cool. Like,
oh, we'll, no.
They were
beating
broken.
The Cowboys at halftime. But then all it took was a little bit of, I know, Reggie, you don't like this, a little bit of momentum for the Cowboys out of that halftime tunnel, and Buffalo collapsed upon itself. Like, Thurman Thomas is like, I don't want to play anymore. My head hurts. And they started turning the ball over again. And it was just like that doubt can enter your mind really easily, to your point. I don't think doubt was super in their mind going into that Dallas game, the first Super Bowl against Dallas, even though they had lost two. They're like, oh, we're the experienced team. This young team, yeah, they took out San Francisco, but they've never been here before. And after the first period, they're like, oh, no, this isn't going the way we expected. In fact, it's going like it always goes in these damn Super Bowls. And so I do think that one did break them, that by the time they got to Super Bowl four for them in a row, that they were like, anything bad that happens, it was a subconscious thing, but it immediately came to the front of their brains, is if something bad happens in this, it's likely going to happen because we just lose in this game.
I am pulling for their fans, Kevin, because they throw themselves through fiery smash tables and stuff like
you
that.
You say like, that like somebody did that to them. They choose that.
And I like that. That's something I enjoy. I respect a lot. Have you seen
I'm
the video?
I'm now reading for my investment in Baltimore Ravens quarterback cards. So.
Have you seen the video that is circulating around of the – I know you don't like this typically, Kevin, but the child reveal, the gender reveal.
Oh, I did not.
There's a guy holding a baby, and he goes, this is a Buffalo Bills gender reveal, and he throws a baby into a cake on a bed, and the cake smashes, and that's the gender reveal. Just go watch it.
Should that baby be around that type of powder?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
It's just, no, the color of the cake was the reveal. So the cake, never mind.
So you just dipped your baby in a little bit of cake. No big deal.
We've all done a birthday cake smash.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a first birthday party?
A forest fire or something.
So for Cleveland, the thing about the back-to-back runs in 86 and 87 with the fumble and the drive, the thing that makes it a little less heartbreaking is Denver got their heads kicked in both of those Super Bowls. First, they got smashed by the Giants. Then they got smashed worse by Washington. What I think really hurts Cleveland is...
I thought they got smashed by San Francisco in one of them.
They did, but that was not by beating Cleveland.
Okay, all right.
But the thing that was problematic for Cleveland that I think is the most heartbreaking is then only after your team got taken away did you then make it to the Super Bowl, and then that team won. And you know what, Mike? I did double check that. You're right. I guess I've forgotten. In the 89 season, they also beat the Cleveland Browns, only to get smashed by the 49ers. So all three times they made those Super Bowls is by beating Cleveland. But then Cleveland lost their team, and then that team won a Super Bowl!
Yeah.
Either one of them, they deserve it.
City of Cleveland has a championship recently, though. Shout
out to
LeBron.
They've won two Super Bowls since, right? Hasn't Baltimore won two Super Bowls, the Ravens? Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco?
Yeah, that was in the, you're right. I was just thinking in the more
aftermath. They move them in, it's like, crap, now they quickly are on top of the world.
By that point, they had given them their team back. But I think you can make a strong argument for Buffalo or for Baltimore, or for Cleveland that they really need this. And then, you know, I would listen to New Orleans as well, considering all the times they've got screwed in the playoffs. And just to see the joy in that city after such a devastating a series of events with Hurricane Katrina and everything like that. I get that logic.
Just
as well.
Not Kansas City and not Tampa Bay for you, huh?
Those are the two teams I'm rooting the most for.
Look, I'm telling you this right now, Corey. Aaron Rodgers making me look foolish, be damned. Anybody but Tampa Bay. I'm fine with anybody but Tampa Bay. And now we get to the huge news for the life of Reggie. The All-State Kickoff Classic is set at AT&T University.
What?
I saw this.
It will
AT&T
be
AT&T University?
AT&T Stadium.
I was like, man, they got a whole
where the hell
university
is this
now.
It's only a matter of time. AT&T Stadium. It will be Stanford University versus the mighty Wildcats of Kansas State.
Let's go.
Soccer?
No.
Not in soccer.
The opening football game of the season. I saw this news and Brett McMurphy, who tweeted it out, he said that they had the agreement to play in Arlington, Texas. And my immediate question was, but where, though? Right? It could be any of those three buildings in that general vicinity. I could see it if they played it at AT&T Stadium. I could see it if they played it at Globe Life Field. And I could see it if they played it at Globe Life Park, where, you know, they've converted it to football. I could have seen any of those.
Or Six Flags.
Or Ooh, UTA. They haven't used that stadium in like 30 years.
Undefeated since 85.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.